Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Adam Olean, Vicar Albert Bader. We are privileged to serve at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, 3825 Wildbriar Lane. Come and worship with us. Come to the house of God. Come and hear the word of God and receive God's gifts. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between, Wednesday evening year-round at 6:30, and we are always on the radio. Our services, as long as we don't make a technical glitch, our services are all live on KNNALP 95.7 here in Lincoln. And if you're outside of our Lincoln listening area, you can download the app or listen on the website, www.thecross957.org. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we are very, very thankful for the opportunity to bring you this preview and preparation opportunity for the readings for the upcoming week. This week, we're looking at the readings for the first Sunday after Epiphany. In our first segment, we looked at the introit. In our second segment, we introduced the gospel reading, Luke 2, 41 to 52. Jesus is left behind. Mary and Joseph are heading back after they have worshiped the Passover in Jerusalem. They discover that Jesus is missing. They go back to Jerusalem. They look for 3 days. No coincidence on the number of days that they looked there. We talked about that a little bit before. They found him in the temple. Vicar, when they found him in the temple, verse 46 and following, what was Jesus doing? Was he coloring the coloring pages in the back of the church? Was he sifting through the offering, looking for loose change to put in his pocket? What was Jesus doing?
He's listening to the teachers teach, and he's asking questions. And also we learn after that he was also answering questions because they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He's reading, hearing, inwardly digesting, meditating upon the Word of God.
So it shouldn't surprise us that God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, knows God's Word, knows God's will, is listening, teaching, explaining, answering questions, and it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus is God in the flesh. It shouldn't surprise us that they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. This shouldn't shock us or surprise us at all. What does shock us or surprise us, and maybe shock and surprise are too strong of words, what does raise a question mark or a red flag, we have 12-year-old Jesus who is able to amaze and astonish the teachers at the very end of our text, verse 51 and 52, when this is all over, we're going to come back to a little bit more here. But he went down from them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to Mary and Joseph. He continued to follow the fourth commandment, no problem there. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. It's the second time we've heard this in Luke chapter 2. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How can this 12-year-old boy, Pastor, God in the flesh, who already is able to astonish and amaze the teachers in the temple, how can he continue or increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? This is one of these great theological slash philosophical questions, but I think it's worthy of our time.
Yeah, the answer is kind of maybe difficult for us to understand because it has to do with the mystery of the incarnation, the fact that the almighty, all-powerful God becomes a human being at the same time. And there's those two natures, both in their completeness, fully contained within the person of Jesus. And so the almighty, all-powerful God is reliant upon his mother, the Virgin Mary, to nurse him. The almighty, all-powerful God who called all things into existence has to learn how to walk, has to learn how to talk. And this is still going on as he's a 12-year-old boy. He's still advancing and moving forward in his growing up process, still in his human nature, at least, has set aside his glory, hidden the godness away within himself, and is continuing to grow up and become an adult in that regard. And that's the word there in the Greek is proekopten, which has to do with advancing, moving forward, continuing to do things. St. Paul uses that word in the epistles many times. A lot of times he uses it in the book of 2 Timothy. Also then in Romans he says, I was advancing beyond all the other Jews. That's the same word being used there. And that's the thing with Jesus. He is still growing up and advancing and becoming an adult as far as that goes. I think, too, the important thing there, you talked about earlier him amazing all the teachers, and they are amazed at his understanding and his answers. That also points us ahead to his resurrection when he is walking on the road to Emmaus later on in the Gospel of Luke, teaching those two disciples about his death and resurrection, which I imagine is the same thing he's teaching and talking about here. And in the same way as that particular instance, he's also doing this from the basis of the Old Testament scriptures, finding himself as the fulfillment of all the Old Testament from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way to Malachi, the Italian prophet, that he's finding
Malachi.
This teaching about the crucifixion of the Messiah and how he'll raise again on the third day, and continuing to increase and advance in his teaching and preaching and talking about that is part of it as well.
We're reminded as well throughout the pages of the New Testament, the Gospels, that as Jesus, the adult Jesus in his ministry between ages of 30 and 33, as Jesus is teaching, people are amazed at his teaching because he doesn't teach like the other teachers. He teaches like one with authority. It's impossible for us to comprehend that this 12-year-old boy, Jesus, God in the flesh, has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is God. This is the one through whom all things were brought into existence. And yet this 12-year-old boy is submissive to his mom and dad. You brought out several examples, and to bring this even closer, I think, that when Jesus is a fetus inside of Mary's womb, when he's an embryo, when he's a zygote, he is still fully God, the God in the flesh for us and for our salvation. How can that zygote, embryo, fetus, baby growing up, how can God grow and yet God be fully? There's the mystery of the incarnation. And this is a mystery that we can appreciate, but we can never fully grasp or fully understand. We can simply admire it, worship it, and proclaim it. Now, there is one little section in here that we did not hit on yet, and that is in verse 48 and following. When his parents found him, when Mary and Joseph found him in the temple, his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." What is Mary implying there, Vicar? That Jesus has caused distress. Jesus has treated his parents with dishonor and disrespect. What is Mary implying that Jesus did right here?
Basically torturing them. You made us think that we had lost you, that you are no more. Why is it that you would put us through this? And Jesus didn't. He just was staying behind as a good and faithful Jew to hear God's word proclaimed.
So I'm going to put a word in your mouth. You correct me if I'm doing something that you wouldn't approve of. Mary is accusing Jesus of sin.
Mm-hmm.
She is implying, at least, that by causing this distress or whatever, that maybe he had been disobedient or whatever. Pastor Moline is going apoplectic when I say that. Help me out there. You think she's not implying that Jesus sinned?
Well, I think she's confused. I don't think she completely understands the fullness of who Jesus is. And this is the season of Epiphany, and that's what we're learning about in Epiphany, is revealing who Christ is. She is seen his birth. She's heard the word from the shepherds. She's heard the word from the wise men. She knows that a sword will pierce her own soul too, from Simeon in the temple. She knows that this baby, that's the answer, right? Did she know? Yes. She knows this baby is the Messiah.
What a horrific song.
Yeah, I agree. She knows this baby, this child, is the Messiah, and so she's confused about, you know, if he's the perfect Son of God, why is he here? I don't know that she's accusing him of sin. She's maybe also seeking an answer. And the words that she says there too, your father and I have been tortured, that's the word there, hadunomonoi. That's not the best pronunciation, but the word there is tortured. That also then is foreshadowing what's going to happen as she stands at the foot of the cross and sees Jesus and finally is understanding the fullness of what is going to happen with her son when he gets crucified and killed for the sins of the world. So I don't know if it's an accusation so much as a confusion on her part, and that she doesn't have the whole picture yet, but that she knows this is God in the flesh, and at least that far can comprehend. And so she's maybe looking for an answer also.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all the things that you've said, all these things that have been revealed to Mary, she knows that Jesus is the Messiah. She knows that Jesus is the Savior. She knows that Jesus is God in the flesh. And how can the Savior, the Messiah, God in the flesh, be disobedient to mommy and daddy? This does not compute. Hence, you know, she's implying, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Jesus comes back with the perfect answer, which shouldn't surprise us because Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God. He said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Why did you spend 3 days? If you really missed me, you should have known exactly where I was." The word would be in God's house, listening and teaching and answering the word.
Yeah,
this is so cool. This is so cool. And Pastor, you have brought out four or five or six things in this particular text that are all a foreshadowing, a foretaste, a type, anti-type, prophecy of what's going to happen at a later time when Jesus comes into the temple. And I think that's exactly where we need to go with scripture readings like this. As long as we don't make that jump to Passion Week, Good Friday, and Easter without wrestling with and dealing with what's actually going on here. When we do that, like we've just done for the last 30 minutes or so, now we can connect those dots ever so clearly. And we see that this text, while it is about the 12-year-old boy being separated from mom and dad and the search for him, the ultimate aim of this text is to reveal to us, make us have an epiphany that Jesus, God in the flesh, is our Savior from sin, and to look forward with anticipation to another Passover, when Jesus will do something very, very big for 3 days just outside the city wall in Jerusalem. We need to take a break. We're running a little bit long here on our text. This is Proclaiming the One. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.